WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Thursday, August 11th, 2016, we are so honored that you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. On today's Current Sports, we've got a fun-filled hour in store for all of our listeners out there. We will, of course, recap what has gone wrong with the Detroit Tigers. That's right, they were swept last night by the Seattle Mariners. And now things become very interesting when it comes to this American League wild card race. So we'll have plenty of Tigers talk. Also, if you did not catch Prince Fielder's retirement speech, it was a very emotional one. You'll get to hear from Prince Fielder as he took the podium to call it a career. Wow, it was very emotional because he also had his two sons flanking to his left. Yeah, we'll talk about the career of Prince Fielder. I also will tell the story of the first time I got a chance to meet Mr. Fielder, one of my favorite Tigers ever, all right? Also, Andre Rison, we reported yesterday how he is in a bit of a pickle concerning child support in relation to his son, Hunter. Well, Rison has made comments exclusively to the Detroit Free Press. So we'll tell you what Rison had to say yesterday. And we will finally invite Mekhijah Reynolds to the show, former Michigan State lineman who was trying to make his NFL career dream come true. That and so much more. You can be a part of today's show by simply picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before we get to your calls, hey, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, former NFL standout and Michigan State Spartan, Andre Rison plans to turn himself in after a federal judge issued an arrest warrant for a probation violation in his child support case. The Detroit Free Press reported this during the wee hours of the morning. Now, the warrant was signed Tuesday after authorities said Rison violated his federal probation. Now, authorities claim the 49-year-old Rison has been delinquent in his payments and has paid less than $35,000. Despite the troubles, Rison told the Detroit Free Press that he is a good father. Quote, I'm just tired. Here I am, being looked at like a hardcore criminal. I'm trying to do the right thing. My mistake was made years ago, and I'm still under the microscope. It's very frustrating, end quote. We'll have more on that story in just a minute. Don't go anywhere. Oak Park, four-star offensive lineman Marquand McCall, a junior guard, will travel to East Lansing to watch Michigan State's opening practice on Saturday, then we'll move on to Ann Arbor, that's right, to attend Michigan's Barbecue Sunday. Now, McCall is ranked as the number one player in the state for the 2018 class and the number three guard nationally by 247 Sports. On Scout, he is the number two guard nationally and the number 77th player overall. McCall made a name for himself at Sound Mind, Sound Body in Detroit last summer, then had an outstanding sophomore season at left tackle to help Oak Park reach the state playoffs. He will be at left guard this upcoming year. Chad Reuter of NFL.com has ranked 25 college football teams based on the NFL caliber talent on their respective rosters. Now, Michigan checks in at number six, one spot ahead of rival Ohio State, and Michigan State sits at number 11. He says some of the Michigan players to watch are tight end Jake Butt, receivers Jehu Chesson, and Amaral Darbo. Now, running back Davion Smith, center Mason Cole, offensive tackle Eric Magnuson, defensive lineman Taco Charlton, and Chris Wormley, cornerback Jordan Lewis, linebacker slash safety Jabril Peppers, also are names that were a part of Reuter's reasoning. Now, Reuter says MSU players to watch include quarterback Tyler O'Connor, running back L.J. Scott, receiver R.J. Shelton, tight end Josiah Price, offensive lineman Brian Allen and Cody Keeler, defensive lineman Malik McDowell and Demetrius Cooper, and cornerback Demetrius Cox. I like the reasoning there. All right, moving on. Alabama defensive back Maurice Smith has finally been given a full release, allowing him to transfer within the SEC conference. Tuscaloosa News first reported the decision. Smith will have to be granted a waiver from the SEC, which has restrictions on athletes with less than 2 years of eligibility remaining, transferring to league schools, including graduate transfers. Now, Smith graduated earlier this month. Smith has been trying to follow former Alabama assistants Kirby Smart and Mel Tucker to Georgia, but was initially blocked by Bama from moving to another SEC school. Despite a solid outing by Detroit Tigers pitcher Justin Verlander, the Tigers' bullpen struggles continue, and they went on to lose 3-1 yesterday to the Seattle Mariners at Safeco Field. Now, left-handed pitcher Justin Wilson gave up a crucial homer for the second straight night. Mariner Nelson Cruz broke a 1-1 tie with his 28th home run of the year in the bottom of the eighth on Wednesday night. Wilson later gave up a two-out RBI single to Leonis Martin in the inning. The two teams the Tigers are chasing both lost on Wednesday, too. Detroit remains 3.5 games behind the Cleveland Indians in the American League Central and a game behind Boston for the second AL wild card spot. New York Yankee A-Rod Alex Rodriguez appeared in a game for the first time since he and the Yankees announced that his final week on the team. His final game will be tomorrow in the seventh inning, representing the go-ahead run. A-Rod pinch hit for Aaron Hicks against Boston Red Sox righty Matt Barnes. Now, Rodriguez was booed heartily the moment he stepped out of the dugout, but get this, though. They were actually chanting his name prior to A-Rod pinch hitting. Now, on a 2-1 pitch, A-Rod flew out to right field on a 98-mile-per-hour fastball and moved a runner from second base to third with the first out of the evening of the inning, I should say. It was Rodriguez, his first at-bat since August 2nd. On his way back to the dugout, Red Sox fans gave him the loudest boos of the night. New York won the game 9-4, in part because of a 5-run seventh that included Rodriguez's contribution. The Detroit Lions will leave Pennsylvania shorthanded after suffering several injuries in a pair of joint practices with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Cornerback Darius Slay, linebacker John Bostic, and corner Ian Wells all suffered injuries while practicing with Pittsburgh at St. Vincent College in Pennsylvania. Now, Wells was already waived and injured after suffering a serious knee injury on day one, while Bostic had to be carted off on day two, suffering a major injury as well. And get this, folks, the Dallas Cowboys will not be permitted to place the arm-in-arm logo in support of Dallas area police officers on their helmets during preseason or regular season play this upcoming year. Now, Brandon George of the Dallas Morning News reported the news on Wednesday. According to George, the Cowboys have donned the decal on their helmets throughout training camp in remembrance of the officers who were killed in a sniper attack, if you remember, back in July. So the NFL was waving its finger and saying, nope, you can't do that. Makes absolutely no sense. All right, folks. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Let's start the show.
Thank my teammates, all the coaches, staff. I'm really miss being around those guys, cause you know, a lot of fun, and I just been in the big league clubhouse since I was, you know, their age. So it's, you know, to not be able to play is going to be tough.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports, ladies and gents, boys and girls. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. It is a fantastic Thursday. Yes, it is already Thursday, August 11th, 2016. I really trust that you all have been having a fantastic week. I know I have been, folks, just enjoying the weather because you know how Michigan is. Once the end of this month hits and September rolls around, yeah, the good weather won't last long, all right? And then fall will ensue. But talking with many people around the area, I mean, many people are looking forward to the fall. I love fall. One of my favorite seasons of the year. So, hey, but let's enjoy summer, all right? Let's enjoy the hot weather. Let's enjoy the time by the pool. Gotta love it. Nothing like it, folks. And we plan on making your summer a bit brighter today with a fun hour of sports talk. Fun hour, folks. And, you know, I wanted to start today's show with that, with what you just heard. Prince Fielder forced into retirement due to injury. And it was such an emotional moment for Fielder yesterday. He has to retire from baseball at just the age of 32. He has been struggling at the plate this year. His struggles have been well documented with the Texas Rangers. And he recently underwent his second spinal fusion surgery in the last 3 years. And doctors have told him that he is no longer physically capable of playing the game that is baseball. So he announced his retirement at a press conference yesterday, and there were a ton of tears. And this was an interesting retirement press conference because it wasn't just Prince up at the podium addressing the media. And it wasn't just Prince just sitting there looking pretty physically healthy. I mean, he sat there with actually a neck brace. And, you know, clearly his body is not letting his career proceed. And it was just such an odd scene to see Prince in a neck brace addressing the media saying, yeah, I'm retiring. I mean, you felt for the guy. And not only that, you had his two sons to his left, our right, when watching it. And his sons, you could see on their faces, they were pretty emotionally distraught as well. And at one point when Prince began to tear up, his sons also became emotional, and you saw a moment where they both put their head down, and one of his sons actually had his head in his T-shirt. I mean, it was just such an emotional moment. Retirement announcements are always sad, folks, and they are particularly rough when the player leaving the sport has no desire to do so because, you know, anyone who plays a game professionally and has a pretty good career, you want to end, and I think in any career for that matter, no matter what you do out there, no matter what your profession is, whether you're a mailman, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a host of a sports talk radio show, you want to end things on your terms. Simple as that. You want to go out your way. You don't want to be forced out. And that is what's happening to Prince Fielder. This injury is not allowing his career to proceed. So Prince has been, you know, hanging out in major league clubhouses since he was a preteen, folks. Of course, his father, Cecil, would bring him along to the Tigers games and let him take batting practice. And now suddenly Fielder can't do that one thing that he's been doing his entire life. I mean, just imagine it. I mean, again, this is a guy whose father was Cecil Fielder. Noted baseball player. He was hanging out in clubhouses just like Prince's sons are currently doing. And baseball has become his safe haven. It's become his getaway. And it's become a career for him in which he's made a lot of money throughout his baseball career. But now just imagine the thing you love doing being just taken from you instantly, just like that. That's why it's so important, folks. And I try to live my life every single day like it's my last. You know, every single day, appreciate every single day. Say thank you, because it could be worse. It could be worse, folks. And it could be snatched from you in the blink of an eye. And, you know, funny story about Prince Fielder. You know, for me, I have one big memory of Prince Fielder. And it was actually when I first got into the business as a professional reporter, sports reporter, right after college. And, you know, I talked about, for those who have been listening for a long time, I talked about my journey, you know, how I ended up here at WKAR. I first was at Channel 6 News working under a mentor and dear friend, Fred Heumann, who's a sports director at Channel 6. I was under the tutelage of Fred in college for 2 years as an intern. I learned so much from Uncle Freddie. And after I graduated in May of 2012, I went through a period of 3 months where I'm sitting there saying, okay, I want to get into this business, but it's so hard to. I am so blessed to be in the position that I am right now, folks, because it's so hard. There are just so many limited sports reporting jobs out there. So make a long story short, 3 months go by where I went through this period where I'm applying for just about every TV sports reporting job I see out there. And I'm getting no calls. And I did get one call from WBKB out in Alpena, Michigan. It's like rated the last market. Alpena is like the last market for TV in the entire nation. I went up there, did the interview, and they offered me the job the next day. So as time goes on, you know, like a few days passed, and I said, thanks. I had no other offers. I had in my mind I was going to take the job. But not too long after that, Fred calls me. And I remember I was sitting there watching. This is in 2012, you remember. The London Olympics were taking place. And I was watching the London Olympic Games. Actually, the opening ceremony. I was watching the opening ceremony with my grandmother on the couch. And I get a call from Fred. And he's like, hey, what are you doing now? And I'm like, man, just trying to find a job, Fred. And he's like, hey, you know, we got an opening here. You know, you didn't think we were going to let you go that easily, right? And I came in for an interview with Jam Sardar there, and boom, I got hired. And that was my introduction to the business at Channel 6, which will always be family. 7 months into the job, you know, that's when WKAR came calling, and boom, I landed here. But one of my very first assignments, though, was covering the World Series as the Tigers took on the San Francisco Giants. Now, if you remember, in that series, they lost. They lost it, but I was there for that final game where the Giants clinched it, and you could see the World Series trophy come out. I remember being in the Giants locker room and getting sprayed with champagne while I'm trying to interview players, and it was just a remarkable moment in the San Francisco Giants locker room. But then, of course, you know, we got to go for the local angle, so we go into the locker room, and I was there with Dave Parks, who's current photog at Channel 6, longtime photog there. And I'm with Parky, which is what we call him. And we walk into the Detroit Tigers locker room, and it's like a funeral. It is like a funeral. There were a few tears here and there, and there were players with their heads down. And it was just a very somber setting. And, you know, we interviewed a few players, and I saw Prince Fielder. Prince Fielder was alone by himself at his locker. Never forget this. We were about to walk out. We had done about 5 interviews, right? And I even remember Dave Dombrowski going around the room and just patting guys on the shoulder to keep the morale up. But I remember seeing Prince Fielder right when we were done, and I was about to go knock out a stand-up for my story for the following day. And I saw Prince, and he was, you know, taking off his arm and shoulder pads. And I'm like, hey, let's try to get – I turned to Park, and I said, hey, let's try and get, you know, Prince. I go over to Prince and I could see that he didn't look in the best of moods. Again, you just lose the World Series. I mean, you won't be in the best of moods, right? But I say, hey, Prince, you know, you got 3 minutes. You know, we'd love to interview you. And as soon as I said that, Prince just brightened up, smiled, and said, of course, no problem. And I chatted with Prince for about 3 minutes, and he was so open. He was so honest. I even remember him cracking a joke or two, you know, about, hey, we'll be back next season. After I asked my final question and he answered, I said, "Hey, thanks a lot, Prince." He said, "Hey, anytime, no problem, dude." And I remember leaving that locker room thinking to myself, "Wow, that is one of the coolest dudes I've ever chatted with." And if you talk to reporters that covered Prince and those that knew him, you hear that a lot, that he was just a good guy who was fun to be around, a great personality, and a dynamic baseball player. Fielder, he's not a legend, not a Hall of Fame player, but he will be remembered as just a lovable guy, a lovable slugger who cracked a lot of homers during his day. And speaking of homers, get this. How eerie is this, right? Again, I mentioned how his father is Cecil Fielder. Fielder, Prince Fielder, ends his career with 319 home runs. That number is significant because that is the exact same amount that his father hit. Crazy stuff, right? Prince, you will be missed. And hey, just another example that, and a reminder that, hey, you just don't know what's down the pike. Things can change in the blink of an eye, folks. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to hear your thoughts on the retirement of Prince Fielder and those who saw Prince deliver his retirement speech, 517-355-9527. You can also win via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or you can even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or at the show, at WKAR_sports. Before moving forward and recapping what has gone wrong with the Detroit Tigers, Isaac Constance, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. Isaac, any thoughts on the retirement speech and the retirement in general of Prince Fielder?
It's always sad when a retirement is induced by injuries, and that's the case without exception. And this one maybe, though, stung a little bit more because to everybody, Prince seemed impervious to that sort of thing. He was the big, lovable teddy bear of baseball. In all seriousness, that was him. Always cracking jokes. You saw it in the media. You saw SportsCenter. They used to do these timed runs. I believe Prince Fielder, I might be wrong on this, but I believe he might have had 2 inside the park home runs in his career. And SportsCenter would always bring out the stopwatch and time how long it took him to lug his whole big bulky frame around the base. It was just a great sight to watch.
Yeah.
And growing up, actually, one of my favorite teams. And, you know, in New Orleans, of course, we don't have a team. So you kind of just pick allegiance depending on who's on what team. First, it was the Marlins for me. Second, it was the Brewers because absolutely loved the combination of Prince Fielder and Ryan Braun. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I grew to detest Ryan Braun after he got caught for doping. But Prince Fielder always stayed there for me. So I'll definitely miss him. And in any dark cloud, there's a silver lining. You've heard that saying, I'm sure. But that's the 319 for me. That's tying his dad's record because that is so eerie, so coincidental that it kind of is cool. I mean, it's kind of a sweet note to go out of. And it really shows that both of these players are all-time classics. They really are.
They certainly are. And, that is crazy. When I heard about that stat that he will, again, end his career tied with his father, I mean, I think if you're going to go out before your time, that's a kind of a cool way to go out, you know? So, again, yeah. Folks, what do you think about the retirement of Prince Fielder? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. All right, the Detroit Tigers. Yeah, folks. Hey, they're still in the running for a possible wild card spot, and there's still plenty of baseball left. But at the same time, the Tigers are not, they are no longer the hottest team in the majors. Quite the opposite right now. Despite a solid outing by Detroit Tigers pitcher Justin Verlander, the Tigers' bullpen struggles continued as they went on to lose 3-1 last night to the Seattle Mariners, folks. So they get swept by the Seattle Mariners. And I must say this, though. The starting pitching for the Tigers last night in Justin Verlander was absolutely fantastic. Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff, folks. And it was a pitcher's duel. It really was between JV and Felix Hernandez. They each allowed one run over seven innings for their clubs. Then the Detroit Tigers' bullpen struggles just gave up the game. Left-handed pitcher Justin Wilson gave up a crucial home run for the second straight night. Nelson Cruz broke a 1-1 tie with his 28th home run of the season in the bottom of the eighth. Wilson later gave up a two-out RBI single to Leonis Martin in the inning. If you remember, Wilson gave up a game-tying three-run homer to Kyle Seager on Tuesday night, and the Mariners went on to beat the Tigers 6-5 in 15 innings, the longest game of the year for the Tigers. Wilson has allowed now runs in six of his last eight appearances. Brad Ausmus weighed in, of course, on the struggles of Wilson. Quote, "It happens to everybody. The thing that needs to be understood is when you pitch in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, you have a bad stretch, and everyone has a bad stretch. You generally lose games because those are the guys you trust in the tightest games with the shortest leads. But knowing that even the best are going to have bad stretches, unfortunately, it costs you games a lot of times. That's the nature of the position, the nature of the role they have in the bullpen." So if you look at how things stack up for the Tigers now, the two teams the Tigers are chasing, again, they both lost. Both lost on Wednesday as well. So Detroit remains 3.5 games behind Cleveland in the American League Central and a game behind Boston for the second wild card spot. But now, the Mariners are just a half game in back of the Tigers. So the Tigers haven't been great at the plate. They've scored 7 runs over their 4-game losing streak now. Justin Verlander, though, it was great. He allowed 7 hits, walking 2, striking out 6 through 121 pitches, surpassing the previous high of 118 in a 2-1 loss to the Indians on April 22nd. So going back to the whole silver lining talk, if there is a silver lining in this loss, it's that Justin Verlander looked pretty good. He looked vintage last night. Again, it was great to watch that matchup between JV and Hernandez. It was absolutely fantastic. It was entertaining. If you like good baseball, you tuned in last night. And for the Mariners, though, the Mariners' 6-game win streak, get this, it's not just a season high. It's also Seattle's longest since winning 8 straight from July 12th to the 23rd back in 2013. So you would have to go 3 years back to find a stretch of baseball like this for this Mariners ball club. They are absolutely rolling right now and are nipping at the heels of the Tigers in that wild card spot. Isaac, this is when you have to start playing your best baseball, and you can't have the little things. The bullpen has played relatively well throughout this entire year, but in the last week now, we've seen some iffy outings. I mean, K-Rod, you know, I could bring up, you know, Francisco Rodriguez, this week, where he hasn't had a great outing on the mound, which has been totally just a stark contrast to what he has been this entire year for the Tigers. So you're going to have outings. You're going to have bad outings. And I like what Brad Ausmus said here, to put it into perspective. You are going to have bad outings as a bullpen pitcher. You just have to limit. You have to limit when those bad outings reveal themselves. And this is the time of year where you have to limit those immensely because, hey, we are now knocking on the door of the playoffs right now, and the Tigers are in a pretty tight stretch for it. I'm not even talking about the AL Central Championship here because I don't think they're again, I stand behind my statement I've made all year, and I think you agree with it. Nobody is catching the Cleveland Indians. They got a shot at their wild card. But right now, those numbers are getting very bunched up. And hey, it's going to be a dogfight to see who gets those 2 spots.
Definitely will. And I think another thing to remember, you mentioned the Tigers needing to play their best baseball. The Tigers, to this point, have had a few quite easy take-it-home type stretches where they haven't always faced the best of baseball when they're at their best. That's no longer the case. Now they're facing the Seattle Mariners. Or they just got swept by the Seattle Mariners, a direct competitor for that wild card spot. Next up, the Texas Rangers, the best team in the AL. So this is a team where, yeah, you're still like there's a lot of the season left, but at the same time, it's winding down. It is getting to the point where we can start analyzing individual games. It's the best part of baseball where every type of outing counts, because then you go after Texas, you've got Kansas City, division rival, you've got Boston. You've just got a few tough teams that it's not easy to snag one game off of. So it's going to be a really difficult game. The other thing I think to remember is this team, maybe it was the pitching last night that capitulated late, but at the same time, they scored one run. Mm. And no matter who you're facing on the mound, one run is not good enough. And this batting staff needs to put it together as well. And they have recently, but there were some worrisome omens earlier in the year about that. And you got to make sure that those don't linger around.
Yeah, right now the Tigers with this four-game losing streak, the only other biggest losing streak in the American League right now is the LA Angels. They've lost six straight. And also, two storylines I want to bring up before we hit our first break and get to Mekhi Reynolds, our guest for today's show. How about the Chicago Cubs? They have been completely rolling this year. They are now on a 9-game win streak, and they have the biggest lead out of any division in baseball right now. And also, an update when it comes to the Boston Red Sox. I don't know if you caught that game last night, Isaac, but Big Poppy, he took one to his shin last night. And I'm still awaiting word to see if it's a bruise or a break or anything like that, but it looked really bad for Big Poppy, who limped off the field last night for the Boston Red Sox. All right, folks, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite Mekhi Reynolds, former Michigan State lineman, to the show as Kaj will weigh in on his thoughts on the upcoming Michigan State football year, as well as pursuing his NFL dreams. That and more on this edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I also want to bring up this story, folks. Andre Rison, he broke his, well, I shouldn't say he broke his silence, because he talked relatively in a timely fashion when it comes to how this story came out, because we announced on Current Sports Radio yesterday about Andre Rison's child support problems. And if you haven't heard, Andre Rison, he, again, former NFL standout, Michigan State Spartan, he plans to turn himself in after a federal judge issued a arrest warrant for a probation violation in his child support case. The Detroit Free Press got a chance to chat with Rison, and Rison really opened up about the whole situation. Now, the warrant was signed on Tuesday, after authorities said Rison violated his federal probation. Now, authorities claim the 49-year-old Rison has been delinquent in his payments and has paid less than $35,000. And he opened up about it. And also, you know, it goes on to document Rison's quote unquote, you know, troubles with his probationary period. And he is found to have marijuana in his system, and, you know, Rison opened up and said, hey, I use the weed candy because I have a lot of aches and pains from my NFL career when I played, even back during, I mean, throughout his entire football career, you know, post his football career now, he's got a lot of aches and pains, and he doesn't want to pop pills, he doesn't want to get hooked on painkillers and go that route, so he would rather medicate on marijuana than go that route. Isaac, what's been your reaction to this story, my man?
Yeah, it's been interesting. And, you know, my first reaction when I heard about it, I came to you after the show and I asked, like, is this the same son that's going to MSU? Is this the big guy we've all heard of, Andre Rison's son, Hunter Rison? And I was thinking, surely not. But it is. And it really is surprising to see this after such interesting developments, of course, going on the field with Andre Rison throughout his Michigan State career. So, it's an interesting case. I don't think it's as spiteful or anything like that as any of the previous incidents we've seen Michigan State athletes get into. But at the same time, it's obviously a problem that needs to be addressed. But at least Andre Rison seems to know that as well.
Yeah, I don't think it's as big a problem as you read into it to be.
Exactly.
To be honest with you, I think this is a guy. Rison is a guy who's clearly over his NFL career, realizes that he's made mistakes in his past, especially when it comes to his son Hunter. And Hunter has been living with Andre and Andre's wife and his four daughters for a while now. And Rison actually coaches his son at Ann Arbor Skyline, and they have a pretty good relationship. So now you have just this is just a clear-cut situation of the past coming up to haunt Rison's pretty bright future right now.
Exactly.
So, and I hope to have, I chatted with Andre. I've been trying to get him on Current Sports for quite some time now, and I got a chance to chat with Andre. This happened to be like last month, and he was headed out of town on some vacation duty. So I'm going to reach out to Andre to see if we can get him on the show to possibly open up to us about this whole situation. So in the meantime, though, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. He is certainly a friend of the show who has been trying to make his NFL dreams come true. We invite now a product of Mid-Michigan and also former Michigan State lineman, Mekijah Reynolds. Kaj, how you doing, my man?
How you doing, man? Good to hear from you.
Always good chatting with you, brother. Now, Kaj, first off, before we dive into your thoughts on the upcoming Michigan State football season, you know, I was on Facebook the other day, and I was on my timeline. I'm always on social media, and I actually saw on your page something that really made my day, and I'm sure a lot of people's days out there. I was scrolling through, and this actually was posted on August 9th at 2:46 p.m. I saw something that said employed on your Facebook page. Now, I've tried to, you know, do my due diligence and look at to see if you had responded to any of the comments, all of the congratulation comments that ensued after you posted that, but you didn't. So I'm wondering, what is that status all about, my man?
You never cease to amaze, bro. No.
Doing my job.
So, not sure. I mean, I'm sure most people aren't aware. I've been real quiet lately. I've always, you know, been a quiet one. I had a little injury when I was with Baltimore, caused me to be out for a while. And because of that, just for longevity of being able to play and knowing that I still have, you know, a lot of time left in me to play, I decided to finally just switch back to offensive line for good. And so because of that, I know that's something that teams haven't seen me do for a long time. So I'm actually going up to Montreal, and I'm going to play for the Alouettes for at least for the end of this season. And then following that, I'll probably, you know, we'll see what happens at the end of the season, decide if I'm able to, you know, make the transition back down to the league or whatever that may be. But I think that's what's going to be best for me right now. Just getting back into the swing of things as an old lineman and doing things like that. So I was out there last week, and Pop offered me, you know, the opportunity to come play for them. So worked out, did everything, and they, you know, want to have me up there. So I decided to go on ahead and take my talents up north for a while and just see where it takes me. You know, I still love the game. I still love doing what I do. The minute that I don't, I won't do it anymore. And the minute like I feel like it is threatening my quality of life and health for the rest of my life, I won't do that. But I still enjoy it right now. I still love playing. And, you know, I just want to do that. I they say do what you can as long as you can. So I'm going to do that and just enjoy the time that I still have playing, man. You know, it's a lot of fun to me. That has never changed. And as long as I can, I will.
That is such a blessing, Kaj. And that's great news. And I'm sure many people out there listening right now are cracking a smile. So you will be a part of the Canadian Football League, right?
Yes.
And what's the name of the team? The Montreal what?
Alouettes.
The Avalanche, the Montreal Avalanche. Gotta love that. So,
Alouettes.
So,
yep. So
when making that decision, guys, I gotta ask again, because I don't think we've seen you play offensive line dating back to like your sophomore year at Michigan State. What made you make this transition, and who did you talk to in regards to that move?
Well, you know, originally I made the move when I was, Coach Z kind of made the move for me when we had some injuries. One of the greats that I learned from, Kevin Pickleman, he tore his ACL in a Big Ten championship game, and I'll never forget that day. And, you know, since that time, I wanted to just do whatever I could to help the team. And I think that mindset kind of traveled with me into the NFL. And although that's a great mindset to have, you got to do what's best for you. If you think you're more talented playing one position, it took me a little bit longer to define and realize that. But, you know, I think it's because if teams still want me to do that and they, you know, saw me previously playing as an offensive lineman and recognize that that's still something that I have the ability to do, then why not? You know, the injuries on defense, it just took a little bit longer than I wanted to heal. And honestly, because, you know, I was standing up with a straight back all the time, I just found myself kicking sometimes and doing different things that, you know, normally I wouldn't do. And I was like, you know, this feels right. This still just feels great. So, yeah, that's pretty much how it came about.
Gotta love that. Now, Kaj, you know, you went undrafted, headed toward an injury settlement with the Baltimore Ravens last year. Mm-hmm. What has this ride up until now been like for you?
Well, you know, it's been up and down, man. It's been really wavy. You see a lot of different things on TV now. I know they have the new show on drafting and stuff, but you don't really see the lifestyle those guys live, where it's basically, I don't want to say day-to-day, but it is in a way. Your performance depend, or basically your performance during practices and whatnot, having the ability to, you know, basically change your life depending on how you do during, you know, one day of practice, or how did you respond during meetings or whatever it may be. It's a long road. It takes a lot. You got to put in a lot of extra work. And, you know, I've been blessed. I played with three teams, and got the opportunity to play a lot last year with Baltimore and everything. You know, it's one of those things where I just feel like if not a lot of people are able to live this life, not just the aspect of football itself, but the toll that it can take on your family, on your relationships that you have, because you constantly are just not aware of what's going to happen, what's going to be next for you. But I like this move for me because it just gives me a bit of stability for a while. It allows me to get my technique and whatnot back together and just get back to focusing on the basic things that I used to do all the time.
Yeah, certainly. And I also want to make a correction. I said the Montreal Avalanche. It's the Montreal Alouettes. So the Alouettes. I have never heard of that team, so I'm just throwing it out there for our listeners out there, not the Avalanche. So Kaj, you know, were there any moments for you when you felt like giving up on the dream and possibly switching to a plan B? I mean, you know, because I'm pretty sure especially when you got that injury with Baltimore, that's got to be a discouraging period. Were there any moments where you felt like giving up?
You know, I'm not sure that I ever really felt like giving up. Did I always say I need to be prepared?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, to your credit, saying working the plan B and everything, I actually had things lined up January, February, different things that I was going to do regardless of what happened. So, you know, that's always something that, whether it be Coach B or Coach D, Coach Burton, my mom, everybody, really my mom, just from day one, you know, saying work your plan B. And, you know, although you have plan A and that's what you want to do, life doesn't always go that way. So sometimes you need to be prepared to take the second course or second option available. Was that something that am I looking into? I was, if anything, I was just more aware of the situation. Never was I really just like, man, I might just be done with it. You know, forget it. I'll move on, find something else to do.
Mm-hmm.
I never really just looked at it like that. Definitely had some moments though where, you know, I was just like, well, let me make sure I have all my affairs in order.
Right. So true. And I got to ask, Kaj, what former teammates are you still close with that you talk to on a regular basis to provide that encouragement? Because I know it's a family after you get off the gridiron here at Michigan State.
Oh, man. You know, I talked to, you know, especially over the last few weeks with everything that's happened with Mike Sadler. I've been in contact with my teammates. I talked to Keith Mumphrey a lot. I talked to Curtis Drummond every now and then. I was at Chris Norman's wedding. That's my bro. You know, like you say, it's a brotherhood. These guys that we go into war with and that we go through all these experiences and growing up with and maturing with, you'll never really fall out of touch with any of them. And especially around this time, you know, it's been great to be able to reach out to guys, just, you know, console with them when everything happened with Mike and, you know, just to catch up and see how things are going. So I don't know if there's really just specifically one or two people, you know, it's even people within Spartan Nation, you know, different fans that, you know, that you talk to every now and then that still hit you up constantly, you know, it's great.
Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Mekijah Reynolds, former Michigan State lineman who is now a member of the Montreal Alouettes. Now, Kaj, that was a great segue into my next question here. Of course, the passing of Mike Sadler. Just brief thoughts on how you heard the news and your reaction toward the death of Sadler, and what are some of your memories with Mike?
You know, I'll tell you what, I actually got a call from my mom because my mom was the head of the Parents Association. She was one of the heads of it, and Mike's parents were, or Mike's mom was, you know, heavily a part of it as well, as well as Darren Harris' parents. And I think what happened was word through them talking, and my mom actually gave me a call late, I want to say it was on a Sunday, and told me what was going on. And, you know, it really hurt you, and it really hits you hard because he came in with me. And you hear about Spartan Greats passing, and there are people that you didn't necessarily know but knew of and things like that. And this is the first one, really even in high school, well, not really in high school, but this is the first one from state who is somebody that I knew, somebody that, you know, I went to war with. I have a lot of respect for Mike. I'll never forget, there was a time when I was actually struggling with a couple of classes, and it was around finals, and Mike, of course, you know, he's taking some near rocket science. And
right.
And you know, I'm in there just trying to focus and trying to do my work. But you know how it is sometimes when you're in there by yourself, you lose focus and stuff. And Mike would stay in there, and you know, anytime I get off focus, he would just do something just to keep me on task. And he would bring me food during finals time when I'd have to study in there late and stuff. And Mike was one of those people that you just don't want to lose. You hope that you have the opportunity to work with somebody like him, to be a teammate to somebody that like him. And, we lost a great one with Mike. I really feel for his parents, for his family, his sister. You know, this is just, it's been a really tough time for them. I hope that they know that their son is somebody who I would hope my son to grow up to be.
Yes, that will be the ever-present storyline as the Michigan State football team embarks on yet another season less than a month from now, actually on September 2nd at Spartan Stadium against Furman. Kaj, I know you still follow the team very closely. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on what the Michigan State football program has done since you've left it? Again, a college football playoff berth last year. And what are your thoughts on this team moving forward this upcoming season?
You know, I'll tell you what, man, it's just been a steady ride since Coach D's first gotten here. You know, going from a team that was, you know, breaking even, you know, 5-6, 6-5 seasons, and then moving on to the championship years, and so quickly and dramatically. And I think the biggest thing about Coach D has been just the consistency. You don't see us falling off just because we lose star players. It's really a next man up mentality here. And I think that's what it really takes to become one of the elite teams, elite programs in the country. And anywhere that I've gone over the last few years, anytime that I mention that I went to Michigan State, it instantly brings a sense of respect with it. And that's something that I think we didn't, you know, people might say, oh, you know, you went to Michigan State, okay, that's cool. But now people actually pause and say, oh, you know, you went to Michigan State, you were part of something. You know how to play ball, you know how to do whatever it is that you do. And I think that's something that's a lot different than times past. There's a lot more respect coming. Now, don't get me wrong, we still are getting disrespect within our own conference, and that'll soon stop. Honestly, I don't even know if it will. Who cares? I think that's something that we thrive off of as well.
Yeah, and again, you know, you see the attention that the Michigan football program has gotten this entire offseason with the satellite camps that Jim Harbaugh has thrown, and of course the whole Jumpman revealing when it comes to the Michigan jerseys. I mean, but you know, in a way, you guys kind of like laying in the weeds, though, right, and really surprising people as the year goes on. Is that kind of a hallmark to Coach D's program?
Yeah, you know, I think it is. We don't really trip off of the little things like that, like jerseys. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, is it cool that, you know, Michigan's getting to be a Jordan school? Yeah, that's cool. That's something that you don't deny. But with that said, you know, you can't really tell what brand it is in the fourth quarter when the jersey's dirty after getting, you know, negative some odd rushing yards in a game. So that's great for them, and that's really great. but it's only going to matter for about 5 minutes.
Okay. Yeah.
But you know, like I say, I think that Coach D doesn't really need a gimmick. He doesn't really need anything else like that to get his players motivated or to have us playing the right way. It's, you know, that's great for them, but I'm not, doesn't impress me.
I love it, man. Gosh, shots fired. See, this is what I love, man. I love giving Isaac, getting former MSU football players on the show because they're not like, they're not in shackles when it comes to the SIDs at Michigan State. They can be real with it. So I appreciate the honesty there, Kaj.
Absolutely.
Before we get you out of here, my man, moving forward, you know, I find your story so intriguing. And you have many people, including myself, rooting for you. Post your college career at Michigan State, which was great, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you with the CFL now. But if there are any, you know, future players out there who are, you know, especially for rookies out there that have gone undrafted and are trying to make an NFL roster, if you could sit down with them right now and talk to them through the speakers, do you have any advice for rookies trying to make that dream come true?
Trust God and trust the process and enjoy the process because it makes you that much more grateful for the entire experience. I think my rookie year going in, I was originally with the Saints or somebody, and then I ended up going to Miami for preseason and all that. And I think the biggest thing that I've learned is to trust the process and to just enjoy it because you truly don't know when it's going to be your last. And nothing is guaranteed. It's not really a brotherhood like how college is. In terms of you're not immediately going to have people trying to take you under your wing. So really just look out for yourself, keep God first, and just trust and enjoy the process, man. That's really it. Grind all the time.
The one, the only, Mr. Mekhi Reynolds, former Michigan State lineman, now offensive lineman with the Montreal Alouettes. Kaj, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking some time this afternoon.
Thanks again. You're a gentleman and a scholar.
Hey, you yourself, man. Really appreciate it, dude. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's edition of Current Sports by hitting you with an Olympic update with the one, the only, Seth Kinker. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Well, about 5 minutes left in the show, and I'm sure many of you out there have been following the action out in Rio de Janeiro at the Olympic Games pretty closely. I've been watching it night in and night out, and I tell you what, you know my quarrel that I had with NBC, Isaac, that I sounded off on one earlier this week, you know, not showing the gymnastics team final live on television. Well, they're going to do that again today. They're not going to air it because Simone Biles competes at 3 p.m., but you can watch it online. So I will be booking it to my office right after we get off the airwaves and watching to see if Simone Biles can take home another gold medal. So, yeah, just go on NBC, throw in the login, and boom. But right now, to update on us on what took place during yesterday's Olympics and to give us an update on what to look forward to later on this afternoon, we have right now our very own Seth Kinker with an Olympic update.
So first, a recap of day five of the Olympics for the United States national team. And bringing home a bronze medal is Nathan Adrian in the men's 100-meter freestyle. The United States took home three silver medals. Josh Pernot won the silver in the men's 200-meter breaststroke. Daryl Homer brought home the silver in men's individual fencing. And the men's synchronized 3-meter springboard team also won a silver. Winning gold was Kirsten Armstrong in cycling, and the women's 4x200-meter freestyle relay team, who was anchored by none other than Katie Ledecky, also brought home gold. The U.S. continues to lead the medal table with 32 medals, China's in second with 25 total medals, and Japan is third with 18. Here's a look at what to watch for today in Day 6 of the Olympic Games. The women's gymnastics all-around final. American Simone Biles and Allie Raisman will look to continue Team USA's run of dominance in this event after Gabby Douglas took home gold in 2012. Like Al said, that begins at 3 p.m. On NBC. In the men's 200-meter individual medley final, Michael Phelps and Ryan Lochte also will go head-to-head for gold one last time, and that's tonight at 10 p.m.
Gotta love that, Seth. What's been really the storyline for you so far in this year's Olympics?
For me, not only the swimmers, I know I mentioned that yesterday, but also Kerry Walsh Jennings, and watching the women's beach volleyball has always also been entertaining.
Now, I don't know if you can back me up on this, but I believe I read this earlier this morning, that those two dropped their very first set in like something like 8 years.
Yeah,
yesterday.
Their second set, actually. That was only her second set since participating in the Olympics.
Wow. Sure. And they were playing the Swiss, I know. And I was watching that. I don't think that was live either, but I was watching it and I'm like, whoa, they really had their hands full against the Swiss yesterday. And then, of course, the water was green, I think, mm-hmm. during the diving events, right?
Yep. Problem with the pools.
Somebody
there.
Put too much chlorine in there, something like that. I don't know. It's been some intriguing storylines. I think without question, the pool has been the best action so far of the Olympic Games.
Yep.
But hey, you know, this old Justin Gatlin story and Usain Bolt, the track and field events will kick off this weekend, and there's like this villain and good guy storyline between Bolt and Gatlin now that I find very intriguing, Isaac.
Yeah, should be a fun one. And another one to talk about, of course, is the U.S. men's basketball team narrowly triumphing over Australia. Australia, of course, leading at halftime. I was checking on my phone. Couldn't believe it. The other column that I read, which was an ESPNW column, I don't have the columnist on name right now, but it was saying, and I agree with this premise, I wasn't going to be the first to say it, but Lily King won the gold, but I think she failed her test on sportsmanship. That's just my take. To be honest with you, I think when you win, it's easy to take the high road, the graceful path, and I think that's probably what she should have done, to be honest.
Well, no, I like honesty, and I appreciate honesty when it comes out to calling out a system that has been flawed for many, many years, and that's exactly what I think Lily King did. So I'll sign off on that, and also, my Facebook page is blown up after posting an article concerning Gabby Douglas not putting her hand on her heart during the national anthem of the Olympic gold ceremony for team gymnastics. And I've gotten so many comments. I'll get to those tomorrow. You get my thoughts on that tomorrow as well. Simone Biles, though, at 3 p.m. Looking forward to that one. Well, thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Appreciate the help of Seth Kinker, Isaac Constance, also Makaijah Reynolds for joining us on today's show. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. As always, have one fantastic afternoon and be easy, people.